My guest at this time is Joel Rosenberg. He's a former aide to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, the author of Implosion, Can America Recover from Its Economic and Spiritual Challenges in Time? We'll talk about the book in just a little bit, but we certainly want to get Joel's insights on a lot of important developments in a region he's very familiar with. And sir, thank you very much for your time.
Good to be with you, Greg. Thank you.
Let's start with Egypt. This, of course, for the past 30 years, or most of the last 30 years, has been about as stable of an ally outside of Israel as we could have had in the Middle East. Mubarak, not necessarily everybody's idea of the perfect leader, certainly, but he was able to maintain peace with Israel. Now there's a lot of uncertainty about that, as well as what the new president there, Mohamed Morsi, might be doing. We still have the army in control of certain aspects of the government. So what do you see happening here in the short term?
Well, this is an absolute disaster at every possible level to see Mohamed Morsi come to power. He is one of the senior leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the original radical Islamic terror group in the Middle East. And what's interesting, I quote on my blog, which people can go and see this actual video, what I'm quoting from, at joelrosenberg.com, and then you just go to my blog. But here's the quote from Mohamed Morsi when he was campaigning. This is last month, May 13th, 2012. Mohamed Morsi says, quote, "The Quran is our constitution. The Prophet Muhammad is our leader. Jihad is our path. And death for the sake of Allah is our most lofty aspiration." And he goes on and says how he's going to, he vows to impose Islamic Sharia law on Egypt, and says this will bring blessing and revival. This is exactly how dangerous this man is. He is calling for jihad, that's a quote-unquote holy war, against Jews, Christians, and all infidels, including Muslims who won't follow Sharia law. This is the goal, and this has been the goal of the Muslim Brotherhood since the early 1920s, and now they've gained power. And we got to pray for the people of Egypt, and particularly for the Christians in Egypt, which are already suffering, but they are going to suffer much more under the Morsi regime.
Joel, there had been surveys conducted, I believe, by Pew and others that showed that the Egyptian people would be warm to Sharia and other more restrictive policies if, in fact, Mubarak were to go. And you just mentioned that Morsi said this during the campaign. So what does that tell us about where the Egyptian people want to go?
Very similar situation, a parallel to the Islamic Revolution in Iran in 1979. In a sense, this is the Arab Sunni Islamic Revolution, while Iran's was a Persian Shia revolution. And the conditions are very much the same. The Iranian people in the 1970s lived under an authoritarian dictator. Life wasn't horrible compared to the way it is now. But at the time, people felt, oh my gosh, we can do so much better. We need a revolution. We need pure Islam. And that's what the people of Egypt are feeling. They've suffered under the authoritarian dictatorship of Hosni Mubarak. They're convinced they can do better, and they believe that if they purify their country and move towards radical Islam, maybe things will get better. Now, that's not everybody. The election was a 51.7%, I think, victory. And even if you assume that it wasn't rigged, which is still debatable, the point is not everyone in Egypt wants this. But what's coming is going to be evil and horrific for the Egyptian people, as well as for Israel and for American interests and our allies.
Briefly take us into the Israeli perspective here. What's Prime Minister Netanyahu likely thinking as he watches all this to the south?
Well, what Mr. Netanyahu and the Israelis have just lost is an ally in Hosni Mubarak. Mubarak was a problem on a number of levels, but he had maintained the peace with Israel, and he understood the threat of Iran getting nuclear weapons. I'm concerned that if and I know Netanyahu is concerned, that if Muslim Brotherhood consolidates power in Egypt, Egypt may start to move toward building nuclear weapons as well.
What is the right U.S. policy here? Whether or not we thought that we could have made a difference, perhaps, in how things unfolded in Egypt, what should have been the Obama administration's posture there?
Well, president made an enormous mistake this past week for calling and congratulating Mohamed Morsi on his election. I mean, why would you congratulate and support the regime of somebody who says that jihad is our path and death for the sake of Allah is our most lofty aspiration? What we should be doing is imposing making clear a series of conditions by which, if this regime keeps these things, then we will consider not rescinding the $2 billion a year we give to Egypt. But right now, I think that that funding for Egypt should be in serious question.
We're talking with Joel Rosenberg. His book is Implosion: Can America Recover from Its Economic and Spiritual Challenges in Time? One more question on policy before we get to the book, and that's on Syria. Obviously, that's a Iranian proxy state by most folks' estimation. Now we see Turkey telling the Syrians that if you get anywhere close to our border, we're going to respond with military force. And some folks see territorial ambitions on the part of the Turks as well. So what's the best-case scenario there?
Well, we got to pray for peace in the Middle East. That remains our mission. Look, there are tensions at every level, and these tensions between Turkey and Syria are real. I don't really anticipate armed conflict, but it was stunning to see Syrian forces shoot down at a Turkish plane and then fire at a Turkish plane that was coming to rescue any who might have survived from that attack. So there are serious tensions. The Prime Minister of Turkey, Erdogan, has called Bashar Assad, the president of Syria, a murderous dictator. That's not the type of language these two have used in the past. They were increasingly allies. But, it just shows, again, that the Israel is being surrounded by enemies who not only hate Israel, but at times hate each other.
Let's talk about your book now a little bit, Joel. Again, the subhead is of the book, Implosion: Can America Recover from Its Economic and Spiritual Challenges in Time? A lot of folks have certainly been aware of the ticking debt clock, whether it's in Europe or the United States, the Medicare time bomb that's coming in just a few years, Social Security down the road, and just this ocean of red ink. I'm guessing that, based on what you've written here, that you do believe it is reversible, but that the clock is getting pretty close to midnight.
Yeah, that's true. This new book, Implosion, raises this question, as you say: can America recover from our economic and spiritual challenges in time? And the bottom line is, I don't know. You know, I go through an enormous amount of the data and look at the economic side and the moral breakdown of our country. I mean, we have huge fiscal problems that experts that I quote from both sides of the aisle, liberals and conservatives, Democrats and Republicans, they're all saying we are facing, quote, implosion, we are facing, quote, catastrophe, we are facing, quote, cataclysm. I mean, it's experts who on both sides who are saying that we could face an economic collapse. And, of course, we saw the early stages of that in 2008 on Wall Street when the financial markets began to melt down. And now we see from a Fed report that I don't have in the book Implosion because it just was released 2 weeks ago, indicates the average American family has lost 40% of its net financial worth in just the last 3 years. Of course, millions of people are out of work, millions of people have lost their homes, and millions of others are just hanging on. But that's just the financial side. Then you have, people families are imploding. People are getting divorced. People are having adulterous affairs. People are having children out of wedlock. Kids are growing up without parents, without fathers. They're using drugs in record numbers. Violence in America is up 460% since 1960. And there's a murder wave going on in small-town America. And as I write about an implosion, we are approaching a tipping point at which, there's some point out there, and I don't know what that point is, in which we just begin to melt down and we cannot pull ourselves back. The good news is, and I write about an implosion in the second half, is twice in our history we've experienced game-changing, sweeping spiritual revivals, the Great Awakening in the early 1700s and the second Great Awakening in the early to mid-1800s, where millions of people turned away from their sins, came to faith in Jesus Christ, got serious about the Word of God in prayer, fasting, repentance, and then they turned their faith into action. And so that's hopeful, but we need a third Great Awakening at this point, or we're, I don't know if we can make it if we don't have a revival of the sort that we've had in the past.
So, Joel, you're basically telling a lot of folks out there who think that America's ills might be dealt with effectively by the results of the next election, and there may be some progress depending on how the outcomes go, but the need for America to address its spiritual issues goes far deeper and really issues far more important than perhaps even the critical cultural issues of our time.
Well, that's right, Greg. You know, there's no question that this is a big year to decide what way we're going to go in terms of our national leadership and what economic and fiscal decisions we're going to make. But the crises we face are so much larger than the next president or Congress are going to be able to fix on their own. We need a massive turning back to faith in Jesus Christ. And I think of the great verse from 2 Chronicles 7:14, when God said, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land."
Again, the book is entitled Implosion: Can America Recover from Its Economic and Spiritual Challenges in Time? Joel, thank you very much for your time today.
My pleasure.
Joel Rosenberg, former Benjamin Netanyahu aide, and as we mentioned, the new book is Implosion. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.